Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. I certainly do apologize for that long introduction that we spent over the past few days trying to get into this fireside that took place in Stockholm, Sweden back on November 28, 2010. It was titled A Special Fireside for Disaffected Swedish LDS Saints. And I have to assume that much of this was put together by Hans Mattsson, who was an Area 70. He's not holding that position any longer. But he had a lot of questions that were brought to him by members in the LDS Church. And as he started looking into some of the questions that some of the members had, he started finding out that these were valid questions. Because some of the information that these members were finding on the internet from a number of non-LDS sites were raising some issues that these Swedish members were completely unaware. And what's interesting is that in reading some of the responses from people who were at this particular meeting, apparently there were other bishops and stake presidents who had never heard of this stuff either. And for the first time are hearing it in this exchange between Elder Marlon K. Jensen, who at the time was the LDS church historian, and Richard E. Turley, who's the assistant church historian.
Well, we said this on Monday, but we need to repeat it again, that they're getting their information in this day and age on the internet that 30 years ago they would not have been able to find. And once they were starting to find out, based on a Sunday school lesson apparently, they were doing some research and brought it to Mattsson's attention. This just really opened up a whole can of worms because they were finding out things that the church had never taught them. And if you're a Latter-day Saint out there, I recommend you go to our website, our mrm.org on the front page, and read the manuscript. This is called The Fiery 2010 Fireside in Stockholm, Sweden. If you go there, you can hear the audio for yourself. You can see the entire transcript of this dialogue that they had. But these are legitimate questions. And I have to say, these people came up with some of the same questions I would have asked had I been given an opportunity to have addressed two of the church historians.
A lot of the questions that they bring up are issues that we have had articles on our website for years. And we've been on the web since the mid-1990s. I mean, if you'll notice, we have a three-letter URL. Not too many companies have a three-letter URL. That means that you've been around for a while on the web, and we have. And we've had these articles posted for quite a long time. And we know from the letters that we receive, the email that we receive from Mormons, that it is, in fact, having an effect, what we would call a positive effect, because it's opening members' eyes to some of the problem areas within their own church.
And it's rocked the world of this Area 70, who is of the third quorum of the 70. We're talking about a very big-time leader, and it changed his whole perspective. And unfortunately, and he still remains in the LDS Church, but I think he knows in his heart that Mormonism, the history of it at least, cannot be true.
It started off by having a lot of pleasantries between Richard Turley and Marlon Jensen. Naturally, they know they are probably walking into what could possibly be a very hostile environment. And as we've mentioned, even though the title on our website is talking about the fiery fireside, it's just a play on words, it really wasn't confrontational or mean-spirited. I want to set that record straight right now. The Mormons who had questions, I thought, were very nice about it. And I thought, for the most part, that Marlon Jensen and Richard Turley were as pleasant as they could possibly be under the circumstances. I didn't get the impression that they were trying to shut anybody down, although they kept mentioning over and over that we just don't have time to go into this. That was one of the problems that I had. Because, look, if you're going to spend time to send two of your historians over to Sweden to answer the questions that a lot of these, as it says, disaffected Swedish members are having, give them the time of day. In my opinion, they were rushing a lot of their answers and making comments like, well, buy my book or get my book, it'll answer this. And I think they should have taken as much time as was necessary to help these members out.
Well, we have on tape over 2 hours worth of dialogue that did take place, and I'm going to be honest with you, Bill, when I'm listening to it, the first half hour we mentioned yesterday seemed to be a lot of time wasting by Jensen. Then the second half hour, they go ahead and take questions when they already said they had questions,
right.
Probably were the same ones, which could have been a mistake because they allowed these folks to have a platform to be able to give reasons why. Not everybody in the audience apparently understood all of the things that were being said. They were learning these things for the first time.
You raise an excellent point, because if they had just had the questions put on index cards, let's say, the person, Turley or Jensen, could have just read the question and got right into it. But by allowing the people to raise the questions orally, it gave them the opportunity to explain why they had these questions. And I'm sure the explanation of what generated these questions in their mind probably raised all sorts of questions to the people who were sitting there listening, never hearing this before. So I thought that was a big mistake.
But apparently there were people there who were learning this material for the first time.
Exactly. So Turley gets up and he talks about being the assistant church historian and recorder, and he says that he's worked at church headquarters now for 25 years. So he does have a number of years under his belt. Now Marlon Jensen gets up. You know, he's already told about his background as well. But then Marlon Jensen explains how this thing came about. He doesn't go into all the details, but he does make some interesting comments.
And he said, I want to say how grateful Brother Turley and I are to be invited here, to be sent here, actually. As you know, 70s don't hold keys, so we do what people who hold keys tell us to do.
Now, we should stop there, because what he's admitting is that he had the authority from above him by someone who holds these quote-unquote keys, which would be the general authorities in the church, First Presidency, Council of the Twelve, whatever. So they are there specifically under the orders of the leaders in the Mormon church. So the leaders know about what's going on.
And they had left, we need to say that they left New Zealand to come here. They went way out of their way for one day, and they're going to be in Los Angeles the next day, which is what they explain here. They're sent by the church. They're not there on their own. Continues on, and it says, and you may remember that Elder Nelson was here on a recent visit, and with him was Elder Rasbin.
Now, we should explain that Elder Nelson would be Russell M. Nelson, who currently serves as an apostle in the Mormon Church. Elder Rasbin would be Ronald Rasbin, who's a member of the 70s, the president of the 70s. Now, we talked earlier how Mattson had met with L. Tom Perry, and how Perry had mentioned that he had a manuscript, according to Mattson's recollection of it, I should say, he had a manuscript that would answer all their questions. And of course, Mattson says that never materialized, and when Elder Perry was questioned on that, he didn't remember saying something like that. He said he had a letter from the historians, which I can't imagine how a letter from the historians would solve a lot of questions for these people, especially since here they are in their presence, and they're not going to be very successful.
These are the top two guys. They're number one and number two, and a letter, I doubt, would have resolved the issue, as
right.
you said. And he said, and as a result of that visit from these two men, Nelson and Rasbin, and some other things, they asked Brother Turley and me if we had a trip that would take us close to Europe, if we would stop by and hold a meeting like this.
So we do know that they do have the authority from this statement to be there. This is not just a impromptu thing. Obviously, it had to be planned. But there was a lot of statements that I thought that were made by the gentleman that were, I don't know, maybe it's not fair, but it sounds like they're kind of schmoozing the crowd to let them know, look, you know, be gentle here. When they say things like, I feel we're among friends, brothers and sisters. I don't feel this like this is a meeting of adversaries, of us against you, of you against us. We're all Latter-day Saints. And then at the end of that particular paragraph, well, what does Turley say there? Oh, no, that was Marlon Jensen. He actually refers to Hans Mattson.
As the handsome Viking.
The handsome Viking, Hans Mattson. So obviously they're trying to keep this as cordial as possible, as I think they should. And so that's really given you kind of the whole gist of what's going to be taking place.
But once again, we need to let people know they knew what they were going into. They had seen the questions, so they came into it with a plan of, we're going to do our best to pacify and hopefully get beyond this so we don't lose all these Swedish believers. Apparently a number of them are asking all these questions. This is not a surprise to them that, as we're going to see throughout these next days as we go through this, that they ask very pointed questions, and they don't just take anything. They ask rebuttals and rejoinders. They're going back and forth with these guys.
Well, Marlon Jensen actually says, after he talks about Hans Mattson being the handsome Viking, he says, "I just wanted to begin in the spirit of love and common understanding with you and say that we're here because Brother Turley and I right now have charge of the church's history department. And it seems like many of the questions that have been raised here, and I want to say to you, they're being raised in other places." So if you're LDS and you're listening to this, just be aware the questions that you are having, and I'm sure you probably are, the questions that you are having are not just unique to you. There are other members out there that are also having the same questions and wondering, mm-hmm. what do I do with these questions? Don't think that you are alone out there, because many times, because Mormons don't often talk about their doubts among each other, you sometimes might get the impression you're the only one with these thoughts. That's not true.
And how many times have we heard that from people who were questioning their faith and they thought they were the only ones? If you're a Latter-day Saint, please listen to what Bill is saying and look into these same issues that your brothers and sisters in Stockholm, Sweden, they have these same issues as you probably do.
Well, Jensen went on to say there are people who have questions they've never thought of before, and there's information that's never been available before. And in many ways, it's a tremendous opportunity. In most ways, actually, it's a tremendous opportunity. And one of our hopes that I think we're going to bring to pass, and again, I'm just reading the transcript. Sometimes when people talk and they write, they don't do it the same. I know I don't. They bring to pass is that everything the church has in the way of historical information will one day become available to the whole world. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen soon. We keep hearing promises like that. But even if they did release all this information to the world, the hard part would be for people to know what to look for. And that's what we're going to talk about in the upcoming broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like a chance to travel to the biblical lands of Greece and Italy? Mormonism Research Ministry is sponsoring a trip of a lifetime that will take place September 2014. In Italy, we'll visit a number of sites that have Christian significance, including taking a walk on the Appian Way, the ancient Roman road used by Paul, and experience the underground catacombs where early Christians were buried. Italian cities that we'll explore during this 10-day trip are Pompeii, Rome, Florence, and Venice. And during an optional pre-extension tour to Greece, we'll see Delphi, Corinth, and Athens, including Mars Hill from Acts chapter 17. Your price will include the international flights, 3- and 4-star hotels, breakfast and dinners, a dedicated guide with our own bus and driver, all admission fees, and even all taxes and tips. To get more information, we invite you to visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com. It's all one word. Again, that's theapologeticstudybibletour.com. No doubt, this is a trip you simply won't want to miss.